405 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Monday afternoon. Beautiful, beautiful Monday. It really is, weather-wise. We're dealing with a lot of just awful stuff going on today, that's for sure. Anybody else hear Colette McKeachin this morning? Oh, good Lord. Wow. I didn't even know what to say. If you didn't hear it, you got to go to WRBA.com and take a listen. Colette McKeachin, who, as you know, has really never met a criminal she didn't like, which seems to qualify her uniquely to be the Commonwealth's attorney for the city of Richmond. It's a bizarre set of qualifications when you think about it. She was, what was one of her takeaways this morning? My gosh, there were so many. I'm paraphrasing now, but something like, oh, we should talk to the thugs more. Wasn't that it? Germ, did you get the exact transcription? I think it was something like that. Maybe it was slightly different, but that seems to ring a bell for me. It was like, oh, yeah, we should just spend more time chatting with the criminals. Okay. You might be in the wrong profession if that's what you think your job is. Now, I'm not telling you that there shouldn't be people chatting with criminals. What I am saying is if you've been elected to be the prosecutor of those who, in fact, perpetrate these crimes, call me nuts. I think you ought to be, you know, prosecuting the people who commit crimes. Because the decent people in the city of Richmond are the ones who are suffering as a result of your neglect of your duty. And I don't know what her finances are. Got a couple of folks saying, was she or was she not financed by the various Soros operations? That I don't know. That I don't know. I can tell you, Commonwealth's attorneys up in Northern Virginia, the Fairfax CA, right? Descano, he's a wholly owned subsidiary of the leftists, the Soros financing. Wouldn't surprise me if Colette McKeachin has picked up some of those bucks, but I don't know. So if somebody actually would like to do that investigation, maybe Mike Dickinson can do that for us. I'll shoot him a note. He knows where to find these things. But again, if you didn't hear it this morning, you need to go to WRBA.com and take a listen to it. She was on with Rich Herrera on Richmond's Morning News. I think she had just like two segments. It was a long time. No, it really was. It was a long time. And for those folks who are in the city of Richmond who think, well, maybe I don't believe exactly what folks who are outside of the city believe on this issue or that issue, right? That happens. Happens all the time. But, doesn't everybody want criminals to be held accountable? Right, that's not a Democrat or Republican thing, is it? Seriously. That should not be a Democrat or Republican thing. That should simply be, hey, people live in their homes. You should not be stealing from them. That is really about as basic as it can get. You should not be hurting them. And yet you are. It's just, again, you go back to some of the things we've seen, some of the major criminal events. And Colette McKeachin stepped to the plate and whiffed. Just, in some cases, didn't even step to the plate. I understand the way modern prosecution works. This is one of those odd things. If you've never been involved in any way with the criminal justice system, you may have a view that comes from television, movies, etc. Understood. When you are actually in it, particularly in an urban setting, because I did see the difference in, again, in Pennsylvania, we call them district attorneys as opposed to Commonwealth's attorneys. Just arrived, Germ. Thank you. But I saw the difference between what happened when I was in the city and what happened when I was outside of the city. In the city, because of the population, again, remember, when I was a cop in Philadelphia, we had 2 million people who lived in the city. To put it mildly, we were active. Lots of part one arrests. We didn't really do a lot with noise complaints. Because it was the city, because it was always noisy. And by the time you got into any sort of a court, and at least as we had it in Philadelphia, and we had this unique system because we're the only, or they are now, I mean, I'm not, been a long time since I was there, but Philadelphia was the only city of the first class in the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So we had a totally different criminal justice system, believe it or not, just for the city. We had Philadelphia Traffic Court. We had Municipal Court. We had the Court of Common Pleas. There was the Pennsylvania Superior Court, which was an appellate court, and then finally the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Outside of the city, they didn't have Municipal Court or Traffic Court. They had district justices. And then at the county level, For the trials, you had, again, the Court of Common Pleas for whatever that county was. So if you were in municipal court, as an example, in the city, it was a relatively small offense. There was one assistant DA who may or may not have been in the municipal court, may or may not have been there in the courtroom. They kind of were just in the building. And it was you. You kind of went in and presented your own case. Traffic court, forget about it. There was absolutely, positively no representation from the DA, the prosecutor. In the suburbs, it was very different. It was very different. So I understand how justice occurs, right? In the city system for us, You looked at what was going on in the hallways because there were deals being cut left and right and plea arrangements happening all the time. Why? Because the volume was so high. It's the same thing with the city of Richmond. So please don't think I'm knocking the CA for having plea deals. That is just part of doing the job these days. And if you don't like it, well, it's the same thing as the sausage. You love the flavor, but man, oh man, you don't want to see how they make it. Same thing in many cases when you are talking about the criminal justice system. But Colette McKeachin's office, at her direction, fundamentally doesn't prosecute anybody. And there is a very real, I hate to say it, but there is a very real anti-cop sentiment present, not just with some of the judges, but with some who are inside the McKeachin CA's office. Not all. But again, I would suggest to you, if you missed the conversation that Rich had this morning, you go to WRBA.com. It's all posted over there. You take a listen and let me know what you're thinking. In fact, as I tell you to tell me what you're thinking, remind you about the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jake Tapper, remember him? His book is a colossal failure. His show is cratering, but that's not stopping him. I guess he had a guarantee on the book. That's what it must be. See, like my books, I did not get a, quote, guarantee. So I still have to sell my books. I still want you to buy my books. Shameless plug here. And remember, I am a Better Business Bureau accredited business, jeffkatz.us. That's where you can go and get everything, jeffkatz.us. Well, our boss, Jeremy, you'll be back me up on this. You were there when he said, oh, no, you can absolutely promote your stuff, because I always go out of my way not to talk about my business because I'm here doing my job. But he's like, go ahead. Believe me, Jeff, if it gets to be too much, I'll let you know. So I got to sell my books. I like to sell my books. First book, Elevate and Empower, you know, there's a whole charity thing. So that's that. You definitely have to buy it from jeffkatz.us. The second book, or the most recent book, because there's actually another book, but it's way out of print, called The Hidden Power of Storytelling. That one you can get at jeffkatz.us. Anyway, so Jake Tapper is out there. I guess he didn't have to worry about selling his books, but he's still doing the circus. He was on with Bill Maher, and as big a liberal as Bill Maher is, Bill Maher is actually not insane. Take a listen to cut number three.
So who, you said blame before, who do we blame? I feel like people are Yoko-ing the wife. I feel Jill Biden's getting the Yoko treatment. You know, maybe she didn't deserve, maybe she deserves it. But Yoko didn't break up the Beatles.
And I think there are any number of people that were part of this decision to hide how bad it was, not only from the media, not only from the public, but also from cabinet officials, from people in the White House, from Democratic lawmakers. I mean, there was a period, 2023, 2024, Democratic lawmakers barely saw the president. I think it was Jill Biden. I also think it's Hunter Biden. I also think President Biden has some agency here, too. We're not saying it was Weekend at Bernie's. He was aware what was going on. No, I'm saying he wasn't. Like, he had moments where he was non-functioning, but he understood what was going on. I mean, we saw him earlier today. He can speak and talk. If you hear right now, he could talk for 10, 15 minutes and be fine.
Did you notice who he's not saying shares any of the blame? Jake Tapper. Hey, dude, I got news for you. You and your ilk were part and parcel of this. Part and parcel of it. You were as big an unindicted co-conspirator in La Cosa Nostra as they get. Not only were you actively covering for them, you were attacking those of us who dared to say, hey, there's something wrong with old Uncle Joe over there, don't you think? Maybe it's time to take the keys and the license away. Well, I'm just saying. 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 421, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Coming up in about 15 minutes, my friend Carl Carlson's going to be here from Carlson Financial. Carl joins us every Monday. We talk a little bit about what's going on in the economic world, if you will. Everybody wants to know why the markets are doing this, that, or the other. But one of the things that I have learned working with Carl through the years is you can't always just look at the markets. It might be an indication of this or that, but if you've got everything in the market, then, well, you just live and die with market blips. You do what Carl does for you. I mean, it's not like I've done it. I've essentially said, here, Carl, here's all my stuff. Make this pile grow bigger. Thank you. See you in a while. And he has. That's the beautiful part of it. When Heidi and I first went in there, we said, we don't really have any of the answers to any of the questions because there's paperwork, right? They want to know, hey, what are you doing with this and how have you done that? And I don't know. I have no idea. Heidi, as you know, heavily invested in Easy Spirit shoes. I'm sure that's going to work out well for us. I have more challenge coins than any human being could ever imagine having. And all that's going to do is really torque the boys when I die and they got to figure out what to do with them. I have told them, though, just donate them. They could sit and sell them. I mean, some of them are quite valuable, but I don't think they're going to want to. I really don't. It's like when my parents had their stuff. Did I ever tell you this story? My brother and I, this is after my dad passed away. My brother and I are down in Del Boca Vista visiting my mom. Because she lived right down the street from the Seinfelds. And my mom, welcomed us to the house, as she always did. And had something to eat, because it was my mom. You know, if you weren't eating, then you were probably sleeping. And even then, there might have been a snack, a little nosh. But we had something to eat, and she said, okay, boys, here's... she handed us each a roll of stickers. Here's stickers for you, Jeff, and stickers for you, Todd. And we looked at each other like, well, what is this? And I don't remember what the colors like blue and yellow or something, or green and yellow. And she said, okay, so what I want you to do, just go around the house and you put a sticker on whatever it is you want after I die. So what? Yeah. So walk around the house and don't fight. Whatever you do, don't fight. But each of you put a sticker on whatever it is that you want. Okay. So my brother and I start walking through the house, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And like at the same time, we said, do you want anything? No. What are we going to do? And we both sort of laughed. And again, pretty much at the same time said, well, we got to put stickers on stuff. Because if the stuff isn't stickered up, mom's going to be livid. So we went around, we put stickers on everything, and she was so proud and so happy that we hadn't fought. Oh, it's wonderful. It's a testament to what good men you've become. And they go, okay, well, that's subject to debate. But that's at the end of it, I mean, we just had to, we got rid of a lot of stuff. Nobody wanted their furniture. We have one piece, actually. Which serves as part of our bar set up here, which is the funniest thing in the world because my parents essentially were teetotalers. After my mom died, we actually found liquor that they had purchased for my bar mitzvah, which had happened, I don't know, 40 years prior. It wasn't that good either. It didn't last. It is 426 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday, I will tell you. It is gorgeous. There's no other way to describe it. If you have the chance, get yourself outside and enjoy this weather. You still got a few hours to do it. I'm telling you, get out on the deck, get out in the yard, something. Because tomorrow, well, it's going to be way, way hotter. We're talking, in fact, the rest of this week will be well into the 80s, a couple of days probably at 90, and the humidity is going to ramp up. So really, today is the day. What's your biggest fear financially? You have one? Most people have this fear that even though they've planned, they've got their retirement income set up, people are concerned, or extremely concerned. I'm looking at this recent study that they're going to outlive their retirement income. Their retirement income is not going to keep up with them. What is it? It's 2/3 of investors worried. Wow. All right. Well, Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial deals with that sort of stuff every single solitary day. I remind everybody he is our financial advisor, our financial planner. By our, I mean mine and Heidi's, and by extension, the boys and Julia. And he joins us every Monday afternoon. He's a good dude. Carl, thank you for being here.
Great to be here, Jeff.
Answer this dilemma for these people who are saying, well, I've done what I think is right, but I'm still terrified that somehow my money is not going to be enough. It's not going to keep up with me. Are they right to be concerned?
If you don't have a program in place, then yes, because so many things can impact you. Volatility in the stock market is a huge impactor if you're drawing money out of your investments and just wanting to make sure that you have some safety and some guaranteed income. And one of the things to use for that, for the guaranteed income side, is annuities, which is probably one of the better things. So a lot of people used to have pensions, not near as many do anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So even these huge corporates that were trying to manage pensions for all their employees, and they messed up. Governments, state governments, trying to create pensions and fund them, they're all messing up. Right. So what they've decided to do is just drop that on you, let you figure it out.
Yeah.
And these places, they have attorneys and doctorate degrees and finance and all that, and they can't figure it out. So the easy way to figure it out is just get an annuity.
Okay.
Most pensions were and are funded by annuities. Oh. So that pension company is giving some money to an insurance company, and that insurance company is promising, for that amount of money, here's how much you're going to get for every month for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. So that's an annuity.
Okay.
There's multiple kinds of annuities, so there's a little bit of confusion. There's probably five different major types of annuities, but one of those types is an income annuity.
Okay.
And of the income annuities, the old ones, the way they used to work, and there are still a few like this, where let's say you put $300,000 with an insurance company, and now they're going to guarantee you $15,000 a year for the rest of your life.
Okay. Okay.
The old ones, if you died 6 months later, they kept the
$300,000.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
So, you know, that tended to kind of put a bad taste in some people's mouths. Rightfully so.
Yeah, you think?
So the newer ones, and I think the better fit for most people, is if you put $300,000 in there and you went a year and took $15,000 out, then you should have at least $285,000 left if you died.
That's right. That's right.
That goes to your estate. That's the way the new ones work. So
okay.
That's the kind I'm talking about, and they guarantee that for life. You can also get annuities that guarantee an amount per life, but it also has something that ratchets up your payment over time to help mm-hmm. with inflation. So that's okay. Just another little flavor.
Okay.
You know, insurance companies, whenever they giveth you something in one hand, in the other hand, behind their back, there taketh away something.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were going to get $15,000 from the annuity for the $300,000,
yeah.
Well, if they say, well, we're going to let this one get higher every year for inflation, but this one's going to start at $10,000 instead of $15,000. So it all takes a lot of study to see what works best. It depends on the age of the person. Are they married? Is it mm-hmm. going to be for two lives? So you figure that out. But what you end up getting is, okay, we just took some of our money, let's say, from our 401k when we retired, and we just basically kind of purchased ourselves a pension.
Gotcha.
It's an annuity from an insurance company, but now you've built your own pension. And you've done better than hordes of lawyers and doctorates in finance and investment gurus can do.
Yeah.
And it's a simple little tool.
Well,
then if you have that guaranteed income in place,
right.
Then you can be a little bit more growth-oriented with your other money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's actually buy some stocks and let's try to grow this pot of money so that we even have more money down the road for inflation. And so getting a good balance, kind of like the yin and the yang, going and working right together works wonderfully.
Well, you, as a matter of fact, I don't mind sharing with people, that's part of my plan, right? You and I talked about this, and, well, you talked about it. I listened because I didn't know what the heck you were talking about, but you did say that this was good. And we got one of those annuities, as memory serves, that will set up a pension for me, as you've just described. But then if I'm not here, then it helps out Heidi, right?
Yep. Yep. And if something happens to both of you, what's left goes to the kids. So it's good. It's a good tool to use. You always, though, you know, you want to be careful because they're often missold or misrepresented, or you're not getting the best that you could get. You know, if we do annuities, we go out and check out like 50 different insurance companies to find the best ones of the type that fits you the best. So, and that makes a huge difference. And, you know, we're building a plan, and that plan is telling us, this plan looks like you should have this amount of an annuity plugged into your plan. Mm-hmm. Or if it's somebody younger, hey, this plan, you don't need any annuities. Let's get some growth. You're 30, you know, right. And let's do this. But the plan starts to tell us as we figure out how much income you're going to need, when we put in inflation over time, and maybe somewhere down the road you pay off a mortgage,
yep.
and
yep.
or you want to buy a second home. All of that is telling us how to figure that out and then go shop and find the best product for you in a very particular circumstance. Otherwise, you might just get somebody out there that's just selling annuities from one company because yeah. the more of their annuities they sell, they make more money, and they're just yeah. going to throw that at them and throw that at them. So you've got to be careful. But yeah. that's kind of the way it is with anything, I think, to some degree.
Oh, absolutely. I want everybody to know, by the way, as Carl and I are chatting here, Carl did exactly that when he built this plan and analyzed it and said to me, hey, here's some of the stuff we need to do, and here's some stuff that you may not want to do, and here's why this is going to work better. And this is, again, part of a plan. You have, I think, a pretty good description, Carl, and again, it's so clear, it made sense even to me. You are building that financial house for the Motley Katz family here in yep. retirement. So what are we building? I mean, you got to have a foundation of walls and a roof and a bar. I mean, so what do we got in our house?
So the foundation is definitely the annuity. Annuity goes in the foundation. CDs, if you need a little bit more liquidity, money markets, things that have guarantees on them are going into the foundation of someone's financial house. And then in the roof is where you're going to be take a little bit more risk, maybe see more volatility. Maybe there's Microsoft and Amazon and some companies like that up there that aren't like totally rolling the dice, but you're going to get some nice growth out of them. Those are in the roof. And then there's some other things in between the roof and the foundation that go in the walls to give you a little more diversification. Not a lot.
Yep.
Because I believe in what Warren Buffett calls diversification. He calls it diversification. So you got to be careful there, too. Got to get it right.
Yeah. Well, you got to get it right. My job is to find the best financial
right.
advisor
exactly.
and financial planner, which I did, and now here you go.
You get it right.
I did get it right. That's exactly right. By the way, I want to remind everybody, Carl, you and Carlson Financial nominated in the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of Competition again this year. You for Best Financial Planner and Carlson Financial for Best Financial Planning Firm, and we've got a couple of days left for anybody who hasn't nominated Carl or nominated the Jeff Katz Show for Best Afternoon Show. Those are the two most
Definitely.
Important ones, right? Those are the
yep.
ones. Yeah.
Those are the ones.
After folks download the retirement toolkit, Carl, at connectwithcarlson.com, and I urge people to do that all the time, as you know, just download it, plug some numbers in. You're going to have some questions, but connectwithcarlson.com is what you do first. Then what should they do?
Then reach out to us through our website at carlsonfinancial.com okay. or give us a call at 844-CARLSON.
844-CARLSON. Fair enough, Carl. I always appreciate you being here. I appreciate what you're
Thank
doing
you, Jeff.
For us. Thank you, my
Good
friend.
Good to be here.
You bet. Carl Carlson, Carlson Financial, carlsonfinancial.com. 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 451, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Quick question for you. Is there any more useful idiot on planet Earth than that moronic Greta Thunberg? Good Lord. No, I can say that now because she is legally an adult. When she was a child saying stupid things and irresponsible things and demonstrably untrue things, I thought, well, she's a child. I'm not going to say something nasty about a child. Well, she's a fully formed adult now, and good Lord, she's a dope. And not just a dope, but a hate-filled little useful idiot as well. She is now sailing with a collection of Jew haters to deal with, let me see if I understand it, 11 Jew haters left Sunday afternoon. Oh, they're sailing to Gaza to stop, quote, live-streamed genocide, end quote. I'm not the biggest tech guy. You know that. I mean, I'm not a Luddite, but I'm not the biggest tech guy. So maybe I've missed it. But I did put into all of my artificial intelligences and my Googlers and the rest of it, the trying to find where this live stream genocide is, because I thought, well, that would be really awful things to watch. But if they're doing it, I guess there is no such thing, because there is no genocide. It's a collection of people who are so desperate for attention and just so colossally uninformed that they have all banded together. It's the idiots on campus who think it's really cool. Look, I got a keffiyeh. I'm standing up against the man. Okay. You know what you're really doing? You're calling for the slaughter of Jews. You cool with that? I mean, if you are, then at least be honest about it. Because each and every time that you chant from the river to the sea, you are saying that you want the Jews erased from their land. And, you know, with this whole genocide claim, there's math involved. This would be the first ever genocide that has resulted in an increased population. I know, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. That's not even possible, is it? Well, it's not, if it's a genocide. Again, another reason why you now know there is no genocide. This is nothing more than the old blood libels. In fact, CNN... the clown news network, I guess. This past weekend, what were they running? Reports that Israel had killed, and they went down this list. Well, it turns out it was all false. No big apology from CNN, you know, just a little, hey, we apparently made a mistake, but what else is new? We're CNN. This is CNN. Maybe it's not Clown News Network. Maybe it's a collection of non-news. That could be CNN, I suppose. I wonder if any of those CNN reports tied into this illegal alien engaging in terrorism and murder out in Colorado. You think that he watched or listened or read any of the stuff coming from CNN? Did that tie into him making the decision to head down there in an effort to slaughter innocent Jews? It's possible. I don't know. I don't know. But it certainly is possible, isn't it? I've got a couple of snippets I got to share with you in the 5 o'clock hour, and you're going to love them. You really are. I've said a lot about Bill Maher throughout the years. As a little kid, I loved his stand-up comedy. And I really was a little kid, and I used to sneak opportunities to see him on TV do stand-up comedy. I've enjoyed some of his stuff in more recent years. Some of it has absolutely made me livid and disgusted. But he really is coming around in such a way that people are seeing him for what he has always been. He is a liberal. He's not a progressive. He's not crazy. And by the way, he's no great fan of conservatives or Republicans. But he is painfully honest. We'll deal with that at the 5 o'clock hour. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.